package. Been a pretty good while since I've been able to do this. You know, there's things that you experience in life that you're certainly thankful that you can take it one day at a time. It is certainly good to see this good number.
Amen.
I don't know what Brother Isaac and y'all been doing, but just keep it up. I'm thankful that we have the privilege and opportunity to come together. And I do also join Brother Isaac in welcoming all of our guests. It's certainly good to see each and every one here this morning. I ask that you overlook my nervousness. I've never stood up before a people to preach without being nervous. And I thank the Lord for that, because it does kind of help to keep a man humble. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 1. I certainly hope that you like simplicity, like things simple, because I'm a simple person. I like to try to keep it that way. Amen. Where people can understand if they want to. If you would, stand with me as we read from Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. The Apostle Paul writes, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Heavenly Father, I would ask that you bless your word. I rely upon the promise that you have made that it would not return unto you void. I just ask that you would grant unto me the grace that you know that I stand in need of. And Father, that thy Holy Spirit would have a free course to work within the hearts and the lives of each and every one present. I just ask now that you would be glorified, Christ would be exalted, your church would be edified, and Father, that the lost would be saved before it is eternally too late. These things I ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
I guess within the last, Brother Isaac has been telling me, when you get ready. And about the last 3 or 4 months, the book of Romans has been my favorite book. Next month, it may be another one. But I'm thankful that the Lord used the Apostle Paul to write such wonderful words.
Amen.
We hear Brother Isaac and others say unto us that if you are truly born again, you have truly been saved, there ought to be a little evidence in your life.
Amen.
When I read from the book of Romans and the other books of which the Apostle Paul had written, I see a dramatic change in a man's life. You think about Saul of Tarsus. Oh, he was a wicked man in heart. His desire was to destroy everything that was good concerning the Lord and everything that the Lord's churches were putting out. But a glorious thing happened to him while on the road to Damascus. Then you find the Apostle Paul writing so many books by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. I'd say that's a change, don't you? We know that in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are new. And I may get it backwards, so I'm going to look. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You study the lives of those two men, which are the same man, a previous and a present, but you will come to realize the reality of what being born again is all about. Paul had no more desire to be a Pharisee. He had no more desire to do those previous things, even though it meant wealth to him. But all that former life as Saul of Tarsus, he considered but dung. That's a great attitude, isn't it?
Amen.
And when Paul writes these words, we find that as he said in verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. When I look at verse 15, I begin to realize and perhaps have a little greater understanding of what Paul is saying to these folks. He said, I am ready to preach the gospel. Notice that he did not say to the people of Rome, I am ready to preach religion. You can preach all the religion you want and die and go to hell. He did not say, I'm ready to preach tradition. You can have all the traditions of the world and still die and go to hell. Notice that he did not say unto you, I'm ready to preach baptism unto you. They were in no state for baptism. You can be baptized and still die and go to hell. He did not preach unto them works of any kind. Why is it that he did not preach works of any kind? Because Paul fully understood Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9 says, and not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, that's a still wonderful message for today.
Amen.
We don't need to be preaching religion. Yes, we need to teach those that are saved about baptism, about the Lord's Supper, and these things that that the Lord would desire. But brethren, a lost person needs to hear the gospel. I'm sure glad that 1969 or 1968 in June, I was under the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I may forget a lot of things, but I hope I never forget that.
Amen.
Notice, I'm going to ask three questions. I learned this way back when I first began to preach. It made it a little simpler and a little easier. And my advice to you, it don't hurt to ask questions. But as we look at these verses of Scripture, I ask you, what is the gospel of Christ? What is this precious gospel? Well, Paul defines somewhat in part when he says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
We must realize that Paul is not talking about manly power, manly capabilities. But what Paul is presenting to us and what Paul speaks of is that which manifests itself in God's redeeming work. You're going to have to think about that, but think. It manifests to the world the redeeming work of God. Where God is at work. You think you sought God? I got news for you. He sought you first.
Amen.
Where God is at work revealing and carrying out the plan of salvation. That's the power Paul speaks of. Not humanly power, not man's capabilities, because if the Holy Spirit does not draw you, you will not be saved. Did the Lord not say, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me? He sure did. But you see, the gospel is all about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Yes, Paul defines the gospel speaking of Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 15. I believe it's verses 3 and 4. He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I have also received. That's what he received on the road to Damascus, wasn't it? Sometimes it stops. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Folks, that tells me I'm a sinner. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. In other words, when He died was not something newly being presented, but that it had been presented from the very beginning in existence of the human race. And that He was buried. And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's my Lord. That's my Savior. That's what Paul was ready to preach unto Rome, and that is what Paul preached everywhere he went.
Amen.
He didn't change his message to suit the crowds.
That's right.
He taught and he proclaimed the truth everywhere he went. And then in Romans 4 and 25, the Scriptures tells us this, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the gospel is all about Christ, who was delivered for our offenses, plurality. You don't have just one sin. You have multiple sins. There and raised again for our justification. Man will never stand just in the eyes of God without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then I don't know why I love this verse, but I do. It is so cruel. From the book of Luke 23 and verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there,
amen,
they crucified him. It would not have been any different had it been you and I at Calvary. Many would still stood up and cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." We will not have this man over us. But my friend, he went there willingly. I see the shame, the reproach, the sufferings that he had to endure. But yet he walked up to that place called Calvary. And there he willingly laid down his life for my sin and for yours.
Amen.
And brethren, without it, we would not have a gospel to proclaim.
That's right.
My second question, why in the world do you want to proclaim the gospel of Christ? Look back at verse 14 for just a moment, where Paul says, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." Do we realize that as a child of God, we too are debtors unto the world? I'm sure Paul may have had in his mind his former life as Saul of Tarsus and all the things that he had done. He may have had a sense that I need to make make amends. But brethren, let me tell you something. As the Lord's New Testament church, we've been commissioned to give that gospel to the world. We are debtors. We owe it to them. Because there is no other institution on earth that has ever been commissioned to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ other than the Lord's New Testament churches. You see, why proclaim the gospel? Paul writes in 1 Timothy, "For there is one God." Listen to it. "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ."
Amen.
"Who gave himself a ransom for all." Brethren, without the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you would be eternally without hope.
That's right.
You would have no means of entering into the glories of heaven. Why preach it? Because he is the only mediator, go-between my eternal soul and the eternal God.
That's right.
Why preach it? Why preach the gospel? Folks, there is none other name according to Acts 4 and 12. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
Why not preach it? That's man's only hope. That's the only thing that will ever change any person. That is the only thing that will permit, allow anyone to go to heaven. Without the gospel of Christ, folks, I think we would of all men be most miserable even today. My third question, who needs to hear the gospel of Christ? Was there ever a time in your life that you needed to hear this glorious message? You think back. I was 18 years old. Prior to that, I had no use for God's word. I had no use for going to church. I had no use for listening to anybody try to say anything to me about the Bible. But let me tell you something. I realized I had a much greater need in a revival right down here in Watson, Oklahoma on June the 23rd of 1968. I realized I had a need. You being here without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, my friend, you have that same need. You need Jesus. Amen. Who needs to hear this glorious gospel? Well, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Best way I understand when he says to everyone that believeth, that makes possible for everyone to believe it. You're without excuse.
Amen.
I was without excuse. But you cannot be without excuse anymore. Because the Word of God, not I, but the Word of God says you need a Savior. When we look at who needs to hear the gospel, who needs to receive the gospel, again, I draw your attention to what Paul writes in 1 Timothy 2 and 6. Speaking again of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. In other words, when the Lord went to the place called Calvary, he went to pay a debt. Not his debt, but my debt and your debt. There he gave himself a ransom. He paid the price just for a handful. That's not what it says. Don't think I'm trying to trick you, folks. I'm not. He paid the price for every man, woman, boy, or girl that has ever been born or shall ever be born upon the face of this earth. You can't change all. It includes everyone. I don't care what nationality, what nation you're from, or anything. You are included that Jesus Christ paid the price for the world. Is that not why John 3:16 says God so loved the world? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, I love that. You know why that's possible? Because Jesus Christ is the gospel. I'm minded of Romans 5 and 12. where it says, wherefore, as by one man, we understand that man to be Adam. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. A lot of people say, that don't have nothing to do with me. That's on Adam. Listen to the rest of it. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You may try to exclude yourself from that, but it will never work. You're going to stand just as guilty can be one day. You know, when I think about the gospel of Christ, God didn't owe me that. He does not owe me His grace, His mercies, His long suffering. He doesn't owe me none of that. But do you know what? Because of Calvary, He extends it all to everyone. Whenever we think about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, I cannot think of a greater message to be proclaimed the world over. Over in Rome, they got this thing they call Vatican. Inside there, they got this man they call Pope. I want the world to know and understand that man cannot get you into heaven. Amen. He is not the gospel that is the power of God. But Jesus Christ is that power. Amen. I'd like to say, just as we're closing, you are a sinner just as I am. None of us are excluded from a sin nature. The world seems to think they are. But I got news for you. They're not. In our Sunday school lesson, it come to my mind, and Brother Steve going to say, why don't you speak up? I don't want to interrupt. If our nation, if our world today would just take the time to sit down and study the lives of the nation of Israel, all that God blessed them with, and all that God chastised them with, I think we'd be a little different. They were up and they were down, but God had an answer for every time they were down. They may not have liked it, but brethren, eventually it brought them back to where God wanted them. If you don't believe that you don't have, if you believe you don't have a need for the gospel of Christ, I want you to take a journey with me back to the place called Calvary. I want you to understand, my friend, Jesus did not have to die there that day for Himself. But He did have to die for me and for you. But I want you to know that as He walked up that hill, that place called Calvary, He walked it willingly. They didn't have to make Him. He walked it willingly. When He got to the top, there was that old rugged cross. They laid it down. But I want you to know one thing. They did not lay my Lord down. The Word of God says that He laid down His life. No man made Him get on that cross. He laid it down willingly. He endured the pain and the sufferings, not but just before, but while laying there on that cross. I cannot imagine someone crossing my feet and driving a spike through my arches. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine willingly lay down and allow men to drive spikes through my palms. But He did. Because when they come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. Oh, it's sad. He didn't deserve it. But I'm so thankful to God that He laid down His life for my sins and for you. In closing, Romans 4 and 25, speaking of Christ, says, who was delivered there on Calvary, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Friends, there is no payment for your sins other than the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You shall never stand justified in the presence of God without Jesus Christ. Don't allow the old devil to fool you. Don't allow him to keep you believing a lie. Because I tell you, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He came to His own first. Y'all remember that? But they rejected Him. It's your opportunity now. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. Allow Him to change your life as He did Saul of Tarsus to the Apostle Paul. It may not be as dramatic, but I'll guarantee you it will be different.
Amen.
Brother Isaac.
Have our musicians come, let's stand together. We've heard about the gospel this morning. It is the only way for you to be saved. If you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can obey it today. Repent of your sin and unbelief. Trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ with all your heart. You come. We'll show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you have eternal life. And if you've been obedient to the gospel, Brother Gary said, all that other stuff, baptism and all the rest of it, doesn't matter until you are saved. But once you are saved, it matters very much. So if you are saved and you've never been baptized, if you are saved and the Lord's calling you to be a part of this church, you need to be obedient to that today as well. So if He's convicting your heart, you need to be saved. You need to be baptized. You need to repent and confess some sin before the Lord. You need to ask Him to help you to share the gospel with others. Whatever the burden is on your heart, would you come right now while we sing?
Page 5.